Welcome to Theology Simply Profound, a podcast of Westminster Orthodox Presbyterian Church, where God powerfully speaks through his means of grace. This is episode 53. Welcome to another episode of Theology Simply Profound. It's great to be here once again with my co-host, Rob McKenzie.
Hi.
Welcome, Rob. Hello. Welcome. How are you doing?
We'll get into that. We haven't talked about that yet. This is the Christmas episode.
The first annual Theology Simply Profound Christmas episode.
The special. This is the one where we get all the different stars from former years to come on and do guest appearances.
Yes, yes. And here they are,
yes,
right before us.
Oh.
Say hello, everybody.
Yes, that was exciting. Yes, this, and actually, of course, it's very festive right now because I'm looking out the window from Studio B. And, of course, it is snowing, which probably means that I'm going to have to sleep here.
No, we'll send you out. We have a sled and...
Do you have a pack of animals?
Pack of dogs. My kids will get you there.
Now we're talking. All right, yeah.
I think your car can handle this. It just started. It's not like Michigan.
That's true. Although we're supposed to be pretty good. Although tomorrow's supposed to be worse. So.
Yeah. Well, that's only because we're going to get a little bit of
ice. But tomorrow's when I have to drive to Iowa. So.
Yes. Yeah. Well, you have fun.
Thanks. I will.
I'll stay in my warm, cozy. See, we will have a fire going on later tonight and tomorrow.
Oh yeah.
So it's snowing out. We'll put a fire on, and it will be happy holidays.
Oh no! See, you got it. No,
it'll be. Said that. No, because it's not Christmas yet, so I can't say Merry Christmas. Well, yes, I can.
You can say Christmas holidays.
It hasn't happened yet.
I don't know. That's what we're trying to discuss.
That's what we're discussing. Okay, so this is a special. Maybe annual thing where we get to talk about Christmas, everything Christmas, and kind of more relaxed, obviously. Once again, I am Bob Terullo, pastor here at Westminster, but for this show, it's not really important, right? That's right. You'll forget who I am.
The names don't matter.
No names here.
Yeah. It's like borders on Canada. It's like, why bother? Yeah.
So we're talking about Christmas and Christianity, right?
What we talked about in our pre-show fistfight,
in our pre-show preparations.
The question. I mean, there are Christians that would say that you don't do decorations, you don't do a tree, it's wrong, it's pagan, and we'll talk about some of that kind of stuff. But you know, what do you think? What do you do?
Well, yeah, I mean, that's an interesting question because we. Don't well we do have some traditions in
and you're
our family.
A pastor.
I'm a pastor, yeah, and I'm a Reformed pastor, which Reformation theology has a history of no holidays other than the Lord's Day,
right?
And so it can be a actual controversial question of whether or not Christians should or shouldn't celebrate Christmas, more generally, any holiday any holy day, as it was,
which is
once
where
called,
we get the name from,
right? Which is what you get holiday from, other than the Lord's Day. And scripturally speaking, let's just say this off the bat: I would say that the only holy day that does exist, scripturally speaking, is the Lord's Day,
right?
Right. So yes, thank you. Being the first day of the week based upon the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ and the pattern set forward in Scripture. So to get that out of the way, I would not call Christmas a holy day. I would say that Christmas has been called a holy day within the church. And this year, Christmas is on a holy day.
Yeah. So now you can call it a holy day.
I can call it a holy day, but not because it is Christmas, but because it is the Lord's Day.
Well, can you actually use the word Christmas because you're a Protestant?
Well, I can.
But it's from Christ Mass.
Yeah, it is.
So, and that's Catholic. That's Roman Catholic.
It is. But language changes over time, doesn't it?
Can, yes.
And it does.
It does.
And so this is where you get into, well, if you are going to celebrate Christmas today, what does it mean, actually? Mm-hmm. All right. Did it have specific meaning, a religious meaning at one time? Yeah, it did and does for mm-hmm. many people. Mm-hmm. And it has a great deal of religious significance for many people. You asked what I do. Now, I'm guessing personally.
Yes, right?
Personally,
what do you
as a family. I'm kind of double-minded on this, on the issue.
You know, Scripture talks about that.
I know. Or at Confessions of a Reformed Pastor. Yeah. That's a whole new episode.
Yes, that
right?
is a whole new episode.
But, and I say that in this regard, right? Am I preparing Christmas sermons for this season of year? At the moment, no.
Better not be.
No, I'm not. On the Lord's Day, when Christmas is celebrated by many people, whether it be a nativity sermon, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
Does that mean I'm doing something wrong? No, I don't think so. But this coming Lord's Day, which is the Sunday before worship, mm-hmm. in the recording of this,
right?
I'm preaching on Mark 13, keeping okay. right in with my sermon series.
Mm-hmm.
Do I think it would be wrong to preach on incarnation or the passages around the incarnation in Scripture on the Nativity? No, I don't think it would be wrong to do that.
Yeah. Why wouldn't it be wrong?
Because it's Scripture.
Okay. See, I think right, and that's actually what I wanted to bring out. Yeah. I mean, if Christmas time comes along and a pastor says I'm going to preach a sermon based on the birth of Christ, because that's what everybody's thinking about.
Yeah.
As long as it's biblically based, that's all that really matters.
Right. You know. Now, the history that comes to us, and you're going to find, you know, this is not a thoroughgoing history here. I'm not a historian or anything, but the general history that flows out of this is that at one time, people were forced to preach or speak out of these narratives, the nativity narratives at this time of year. And that is what was being rejected.
Yes.
The enforcing that you say you have to follow a religious calendar, you have to follow a liturgical calendar. And that is religious authoritarianism, mm-hmm. right? And that we reject, and that I would reject.
Yes, absolutely.
But I think, given your particular context, a congregation, a pastor has the freedom to choose passages of Scripture. Now, that's me as the pastor in the church. And this season of year, I'm thinking about it with my kids as well.
Mm-hmm.
All right, you can't get away from it. So, you know, we love the Christmas hymns. We love mm-hmm. the holiday jingles that are out there. That start even in November. They start. We like that stuff, and we play them. We have it going on all the time. We have the Christmas tree. We have the lights, and I consider that.
Yeah, I saw the druid tree. In your
I consider that cultural. Mm-hmm. I consider that to be a cultural aspect of the holiday that we participate in as people of Western culture. And we enjoy that, and we have fun with it. Mm-hmm. For a long time, it was our tradition to go out and cut a tree down.
Murder. Can't believe you do that. Haven't you watched the commercials?
And we make a thing out of it. And we had a great time in the snow in Connecticut.
There's a lot of forest preserves around here. You can do that if you want. Just do it at night when nobody's looking.
Well, we haven't been able to do that regularly since we've been here in Chicagoland. But we made a thing out of it. We had a lot of fun with it. And so we enjoy that aspect of the Christmas season, having a tree, having an enjoyable dinner on that day. Now, when Christmas falls on the Lord's Day, mm-hmm. As it does this year, we actually don't do the opening of gifts and everything on the Lord's Day. Mm. We'll do it the day before. Do I think that's what everyone has to do? No. Mm. But that's what we're doing because, well, for a pastor, the Sunday happens to be a busy day mm-hmm. With preaching and showing hospitality and enjoying the fellowship of the saints because that's priority. That's priority in my book. So that's how we do it as a family. We use the cultural and we enjoy the cultural part of it. That's how I think of it.
Mm-hmm.
But we also recognize that the majority of the Western world is thinking about this in religious terms as well mm-hmm. at this season of year. And so we enjoy those aspects as well. And we don't have to, but I'm not going to ignore it.
Right.
You know, that would be.
There are some people that try to.
Yeah, that would be. But in my mind, that would be sticking my head in the sand as to what, you know, the entire culture around me is talking about, or at least thinking about.
So what you're saying is that Christians don't have trees in their living room, then they're being disobedient.
No. No, that's not what I said.
Sounds like it.
I didn't say disobedient at all, did I? I said, if I'm not thinking about it or enjoying it, for me, that would be like sticking my head in the sand.
Right. If people don't want to decorate it, they don't want a tree.
That's fine. Yeah, you'll notice that we don't have any lights out.
Yeah, I was going to talk to you about that.
Yeah. We have the tree on the inside. I didn't notice, actually. Well, yeah, that was daytime when you got here.
Yeah.
You'll leave. It's nighttime, right?
I know, just about.
With the snow coming down. Yeah. But as you leave, you'll notice that we don't have lights on. Now, is that because I don't like lights? No, I actually like lights on houses in a simplistic way, but I don't want to do it.
So it's the sluggard. That's what it is.
Yeah.
You don't do
it. It's the sluggard. And our exterior outlets don't work, right? So it's a practical thing.
It's a hindrance.
You don't have to do these things, right? But the conversation is going on, and I'm a part of this culture. And so I don't think I'm rejecting anything biblical, and I don't think I'm adhering to anything unbiblical.
Right.
I think I'm living in Western society and being a person who lives within Western society by having a tree and enjoying these things with my children and, you know, having gifts and giving gifts. And we take it as an opportunity to remind our kids and to read gospel narratives about the birth of Jesus and other parts of Scripture. Mm-hmm. And we talk about what Jesus came to do in our family, and we have fun with it as well.
But, you know, but how can you do that? Because, I mean, everybody knows that Jesus was actually born in March. So,
I don't know that Jesus was born in March.
Most people would say he was.
People might say that he was. Well, he was born in springtime. I don't know.
There you go. Well, okay. He was born in springtime. Now is not springtime. Have you been outside?
Now is not springtime. What am I doing by doing it now? I'm following a long tradition, which is no big deal.
That actually, it is a very long tradition.
Yeah.
I mean, I think actually fourth or fifth century.
It started. Yeah.
Actually, you know, I'm having a little fun teasing you about this, but because Melody and I love Christmas, the Christmas time. And, you know, if we could, we would. Melody said this to me the other day. She said if she could, she would want a big house where she does that crazy, put up 500,000 lights, synchronize it to Mannheim steamroller, and with all that, she would do it. I was a little surprised she actually said that. Now, of course, we would never do that. For one thing, we have a very small house, and we don't have any money to buy all those 500,000 lights. Nor, actually, she said if she wasn't a Christian, she would do it because she could never, the idea of paying that much money for that much stuff. Although, you know, there's people that collect stuff over 20, 30 years, and they've got that much stuff, and they didn't spend that much money.
Right.
So you can do it as a Christian.
Yeah,
it's a cultural thing when it comes to that kind of stuff.
I think so. Yeah.
Trees and lights. And, we're living in a world where this is going to be celebrated, and we enjoy what we can, but we never forget that it's you know, and I'm not talking about, you know, we put the Christ back in Christmas. I am thankful that I can walk into a store and see a Merry Christmas. I mean, it does remind me of my Lord and Savior. I would much rather have that be the you know, spread out through towns and zoos and cities, and you walk in malls and there's Christmas stuff. I would much rather have all that up there than some other religion.
Right.
What if people were celebrating Buddha like they're celebrating
the birth of Christ? Right.
I would find that pretty offensive.
If we lived in Asia, then we might get that.
And I don't mean offensive in the sense of, you know, oh, you know, that person's doing that. That offends me. I mean, just offensive in that it would sadden me that that's what's being celebrated, that a false religion is being celebrated. But to see Christ celebrated, I'm gonna be happy about some of that stuff.
More people who do not believe in Christ will be lifting Christ up on their lips in the songs they sing.
Exactly.
With the even some common hymns, they'll be start humming these hymns with the music, and it'll bring to mind the words for us. And, you know, Handel's Messiah being sung by how many people and lifting hallelujahs up to the Lord who are praising God.
Right.
But and yet don't believe on him.
Right.
I mean, but the Lord's name will be exalted.
Right.
Willingly or unwillingly.
Right.
We know that. And it speaks to that, I think. And it's glorious in that way.
Yeah. You know, going back to you hear, and again, if there's anybody listening that they do not have any Christmas decorations, mm-hmm. they don't want that. To them, it can be offensive.
If it violates your conscience, don't do it.
Don't do it. I mean, it's interesting because, and this would always happen to Calvin, where rumors would start about Calvin, you know, that he was, you know, killing children and eating them for breakfast and things like that. And but one of the things was that he forbade Christmas, that you could not celebrate Christmas. And he wrote a couple letters basically saying, I do not know where these rumors started mm-hmm. from, but he goes, I have no problem with people who celebrate Christmas. And I'm obviously paraphrasing a bit.
Yeah, just a bit.
But he kind of said, you know, that, look, if you want to celebrate it, celebrate it. If you don't, don't. I mean, he looked at it as, and that's how I would look at it, as Paul, this is a conscience thing. Mm-hmm. It's something that you do unto Christ, and you make sure that whatever you do is glorifying God.
Yeah. The thing is whether or not you're going to force someone to do it and say you have to do this. No, there's no scriptural regulations as to whether or not you can do it. I think it goes along, and it goes along to a service of thanksgiving for something in particular. You know, if a church decides to have a special worship service or something like that, or a special service of some sort, whether it be at Thanksgiving time mm-hmm. and thanksgiving for the good gifts that God has given us, or in this season of the year where you can give thanks for the birth of Christ. I think, you know, those things are okay. There's no violation of any scriptural principles to do that.
You know, I will say what is not okay is canceling your service so the kindergarten class can go up and sing.
That is true.
I mean, if before your service starts, you want to have the kindergartners go up and sing, or the whatever age group, go do that.
Yeah.
And then they can sit down and then you can begin your service. But the idea of we're going to cancel the worship of Christ mm-hmm. so we can celebrate his birth is not a very good present.
No, that's why, you know, when I started out and you asked, Lord's Day takes precedence.
Right.
Right. The worship of our Lord and Savior.
Well, it's on a Sunday this year, but even if it wasn't on a Sunday, if it was on a Wednesday, but mm-hmm. the Sunday before, you're going to have your Christmas program. So you're going to cancel the worship service.
Yeah. In order to do something for Christmas.
Right.
Yeah. That's just not okay. You know, in our estimation.
Right. And again, I'm not saying don't have a kids program. Don't have.
No. I'm not saying that. Can be fun. They can be fun.
I mean, anyway, you know, I was looking for the Christmas tree in our church and I couldn't find it. I don't understand that.
You won't find it.
Oh, it's
right up there next to the American flag.
Yes. Oh, is that where it is? Oh, I haven't seen that either.
Yeah.
But what about the fact that, I mean, okay, so we've got Christmas trees. I have a Christmas tree. You have a Christmas tree. Mm-hmm. And we take these pagan effigies out of packages and we hang it on the tree, which of course we know actually is used to used in medieval word here as golems to represent the images that they possess. And so if you have
is that what you do?
I mean, don't you? And so if you hang effigies of people, then you're either wanting good or bad things to happen mm-hmm. to them. I mean, have you heard this before?
I have not heard this ornament part.
This is actually the medieval
origins
of the, you know, of ornaments. I think maybe that I've heard those. I have heard that several times. I do think maybe it's exaggerated a bit.
Yeah, because the different concepts of trees and Yule logs and different things, they're sort of like there's a development over time of within different countries and cultures of slightly different reasons for doing something. But traditions change, cultures change. I put a tree up and put and put things on it that have been given to me, like the birth of your first child, their first Christmas, right?
Right. Oh, I hate those ornaments. Right. They drive me nuts.
You get, you know, your first Christmas as a married couple, you know, you have, that's right. what they're for. They're there for nostalgic sake. They're there for the things that the kids made.
And I put the Millennium put Falcon.
The tree. And you have a Millennium Falcon, right? Falcon you probably have a real Gollum on there.
I think I do have Gollum on there. Yeah, I think he probably is on there.
So, I mean, that's all these things.
It's fun. It's fun and it's for, you know, it's festive. We enjoy it.
It's Festivus.
It's Festivus for the rest of us. Yes. No, actually, I don't have a Festivus bowl. I actually do have a Christmas tree because I'm a Christian. What are you trying to say?
Really?
Okay. Well, what about Santa? Because, you know, if you rearrange the letter in Santa, you get Satan.
You also get Antis.
What's an Antis?
I don't know.
Okay. Well, if you rearrange the words in God, you get dog as well. So. Yeah,
so,
I know
yeah,
you
so can't. It doesn't you can mean do, anything. It doesn't mean anything, right? Right? Right?
Yeah, but okay. So, did your children?
Our children never believed in Santa.
They never believed in Santa.
No,
I can't believe you do that to poor children.
We should have given a disclaimer right there, and then if parents are listening to this with their children, we should have said, you know, take the children out so that we don't spoil it for them.
Why? Santa's real.
No,
yes, I'm sure that there's many families out there that have their children listen to us.
If anything, our kids believe more. We let our kids believe more in the tooth fairy than we did in Santa, because the tooth fairy is obviously, you know, non-existent.
Obviously, you do not know the origins of the tooth fairy. That's for another episode.
We played the tooth fairy up so much more than we even played up Santa. There's Santas all over the place.
I don't know.
Obviously.
Wait. So somebody coming down your chimney and leaving your children gifts is worse than some guy with wings coming into your kid's room at night and putting stuff under their pillow? What's wrong with you?
Both are kind of scary.
Oh, they are. They are.
But we enjoy Santa films. We enjoy pretending about it. We enjoy all that kind of stuff. Well, it's just fun.
He's based on a Christian person, a real person who actually existed.
And we talk about good Saint Nick, and we talk about the origins of him. We talk about those things, and we have fun with it when we watch Rudolph and the Red-Nosed Reindeer with Santa. You know, we just enjoy the cultural aspect of it while also enjoying the portions of it that have some aspect of historical reality. Like Saint Nick. I mean, it's evolved so much. Yeah, there was a Troom, but like much of history, there's been a lot of stuff that, you know, we just can't get at every nook and cranny of the historical facts. I mean, you see a Facebook, you know, memes out there with good picture of Saint Nick and, you know, some of the things that he did by, you know, with heretics. there are memes out there, you know.
Sure.
Tell your kid those wonderful stories, you know, on Christmas Eve, you know, or whatever.
So. But I mean, I think when we talked about this before, the idea of culture. What do we do with children with culture? You teach them how to evaluate it.
Yeah.
And just as you would, you know, there are some Christians I've met that actually believe that fiction in and of itself is wrong, that you shouldn't read fiction. But then so many few people believe that. I mean, how many... There are probably more Christians that would not allow their children to believe in Santa Claus that will allow them to watch Disney movies. Mm-hmm. Well, what are Disney movies except fairy tales? Yeah. And you know, in one sense, that's what Santa has become. Wow. He's become a fairy tale.
He's a fairy tale.
And you just teach them how to evaluate it. I mean, I do remember I grew up believing in Santa just until last year. And I do remember, maybe I was like 7, and my brother telling me that there was no Santa he had a lot of joy telling me there was no Santa, actually, older brother. And, you know, I was hurt. I was crushed. You know, I didn't stop believing in God. I mean, I didn't, because I evaluated, I understood, and it was disappointing. But as I grew up, I could understand more. I understand the difference between fairy tale and reality. And you'll hear parents say, and I'm not trying to get parents to tell their children that there is a Santa, because I think it's perfectly fine to teach them, well, this is what this is about. It's a story, and have fun with it still. Yeah. You can do that. And there's no reason not to have fun with it, or at least to let your kids have some sort of, you know, to have your kids growing up, you know, thinking, well, if you rearrange the letters, it's Satan, you know, and that just doesn't do any good. I don't think so. So, okay. So Merry Christmas or Happy Holidays? What do you say when you're in the store? And
you know what? I typically say one. I say either or. I mean, it's whatever pops into my head first.
Right.
Happy holidays is to take over Christmas and New Year's if I want to do both.
Oh, so now we're back to the sluggard.
Thanks, Rob.
You conflate that together.
Man, I am just pounded here. Pejorative after pejorative. I'm okay.
Well, you're more tired than I am today.
So I guess I'm a sluggard for saying happy holidays now.
Yes.
I like saying happy Christmas, to be honest.
Oh yeah, actually, I say it as well. I mean,
isn't that a more European way?
It
of
is
saying
more. It's British. It's more British.
So I've heard that on a few occasions, and I actually prefer saying happy Christmas because it just I think it jolts someone in American context. Just I do hope I have a happy Christmas together.
Yeah.
Merry Christmas is just something people can say, kind of like they say, well, God bless you. You know?
Yeah, that's true.
And that's not, you know, that just becomes sort of just like a thing to say. And I think if I want to wish someone a Merry Christmas, I want to do it in a really proper way. I want them to actually enjoy their season of celebration.
Right. Well, and so I don't think it's helpful. I mean, as a Christian, is it ever helpful to offend someone?
Not on purpose,
right.
No.
And I think that there's out of a defense mechanism, because there was, and I don't think it's as bad as it was now, but there was several years ago, maybe a few, that there was this anti Merry Christmas that kind of went out there. And I, you know, so a lot of Christians had their feathers ruffled, and I get that. And so they kind of went out of their way to say Merry Christmas to people. You know, I, you know, picture people grabbing people as they walk by them in the mall going, Merry Christmas now. Calm down.
Scrooge.
And I do get the defensiveness of there, but if there's somebody that I'm in a store and I'm talking with somebody and they say happy holidays or they don't say anything at all. And I can kind of look at them and think, okay, if I know that if I say Merry Christmas, I'm going to offend them, I'm not going to say it. But I have found that, or happy Christmas or whatever, but I have found that when I'm in stores and I do say that in a very nice way, most people are kind of surprised. And usually I get them, Merry Christmas back. And they're kind of happy that you did it. So I think as long as you can have fun with it and it can actually make people happy, then go for it.
Tis the season, right? To be joyful.
Yeah, to be jolly.
To be jolly and joyful.
Yes.
And
why not?
Make the seasons bright, you know?
Yeah. I mean, it's with anything in life, we should try to have fun with it if we can, unless, you know, whatever it is truly blasphemous, which some Christians would say things in Christmas are. I would disagree.
Right.
But I don't want them to start, you know, to change. Mm-hmm.
For your sake.
For my sake. Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, if you're somebody that says, you know, I just don't want to celebrate Christmas, that's fine. Yeah. Don't do that. Okay. So, and of course, you know, what's the number one question, of course, is what's your favorite Christmas movie?
That's a hard one.
No, Die Hard. Come on.
Die Hard is probably
Is it up there?
Right
there?
It is up there.
Yeah. But you can name some others. Let's name some others. Yeah.
Well,
because as you know, I'm
you are a movie fan. See, I'm not
a big movie fan. Yeah,
I'm not sure any. See, names don't pop into my head.
Elf, have you seen Elf?
I haven't seen it in
How
its entirety.
Have you not seen
in its entirety? See, there's a specific character in there that not character, but actor that I have a hard time with. But I've been told after I just acted it out in our game
that's
night.
Right, that's right.
And you know, by the way, in charades, they got it. So yeah, I did pretty well
job.
On that one.
Good job.
And it was Elf. So I've been encouraged to watch Elf.
Well, I mean, if you've seen a bits and pieces and you're not really interested in watching anymore, don't. I mean, but I will say with Elf, it's interesting because I watched it the first time and it was like Mel and I both. We were like, yeah, you know, that was good.
Yeah.
And then what we were like, and then we watched it a few years later and we thought, oh my goodness, that was genius.
Yeah. Okay.
That was, yeah. So it is one of my favorite movies to watch.
I do like different versions of A Christmas Carol, but I'm not remembering which version I like the best at the moment.
Is it the black and white or the color?
I don't remember.
Because there's two. I think it's the black and white, I think, is the better one.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're both. Yeah.
There was one actually with Henry Winkler in it.
Oh, yeah. That was pretty good.
And
pretty good.
I remember appreciating that and enjoying that one. But
I mean, there's A Bishop's Wife. You know, what's that one? Yeah, of course, A Christmas Story.
Miracle on 34th Street.
Miracle on 34th Street.
I mean, there's so many.
It's a Wonderful Life. One of my favorite movies of all time.
It's a Wonderful Life is outstanding. Yeah. I mean, even Holiday Inn.
Holiday Inn.
White Christmas. I mean, and those are not even, you know, they don't have even a Christian theme at all, but they're very enjoyable winter movies. I don't know if, I mean, we just watched Holiday Inn and really.
Around the Corner actually is excellent.
Around the Corner. I don't know that one at all.
It's interesting. It was Jimmy Stewart. I'm a big Jimmy Stewart fan. So it's an excellent movie. And it was actually the original movie that they remade into You've Got Mail. So if you've ever seen You Got Mail, it's the same premise.
Okay. That reminded me.
Yeah.
Home Alone.
Oh, right. Oh, for the Christmas movie. Yeah.
Home Alone. That was one of my favorites.
Yeah. I thought I liked that. I never
original,
think of that.
The first
Oh, no. I understand. Yeah. I understand. I never think of that when I think of Christmas movies.
I just think of the Legos.
I mean, there's.
And stepping on Legos.
Yeah. Oh, that's true. I mean, then, well, I mean, I could go, I could name several others, but. You know, Mixed Nuts is actually a good one. Probably nobody. That's one that's nobody watched, but that's okay.
I don't even know what you're talking about. I mean, I eat Mixed Nuts. I don't watch them.
That's okay. Well, you can just throw them out on the table and
see what
start
happens.
The base.
Yeah.
And then they bounce around.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Anyway, so this was our Christmas. That's why we wanted to be a little lighter in our episode. But yeah, I mean, I enjoy Christmas, the Christmas time, but I also enjoy the fact that the world is, whether they like it or not, is kind of submerged into having to think about Christ. It might be in a very materialistic way at times.
Yeah, but I mean, certainly, I mean, that's another whole aspect of, you know, that there's a cultural aspect of it, which includes a consumerism.
Oh, yeah,
right?
Absolutely.
And so I do think in that aspect, Christians do need to kind of, they need to be thoughtful about that part of it. While we're in the culture and we can go to some things and enjoy some things, there are some things that we should hold off on as well.
Right.
And I think that consumerism aspect of going overboard, you know, going into debt for it or something like
that's
we just need to give our kids big bags of coal and tell them to do better, you know, because Santa's coming to town and
he's got a list.
He's checking
it a couple of times.
If you don't obey the covenant of works,
well,
you're dead.
We have gone off into
if you're good, you get reward.
How much eggnog have you had?
And if you are bad, you get curse. So, I mean, Santa works on the covenant of works.
This is why the dispensationalists hate us right there. Wow, boy, that went off the rails pretty quick there.
It's all about the bass. No treble.
Yeah, no, I think actually it's interesting you bring up the consumerism, the idea of debt and stuff. That's a great point because, you know, we should always be watchful about our consumerism.
Yeah.
But this is a time where we are not only tempted to not be wise stewards of our money, but we're also encouraged greed, envy.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't think we should condemn Christmas for forcing us.
No, we do it to ourselves.
No, we do it to ourselves.
But we need to be aware.
We need to be watchful of our hearts when it comes in. And we should always be watchful of our hearts, and we can be greedy in February and April.
Just as much as we can now. But certain times of year, and whether it be for this or birthdays or whenever, you know, you get stuff, you know, we can think about giving stuff and we want to get lots.
It is hard.
Yeah.
But I guess what I want to leave everyone with is just enjoy the time. Enjoy the time with family. Yeah.
It's a good time of family.
Think of Christ and enjoy the festivities.
I think it's appropriate to think of the gift given. You know, one of my favorite stories, not necessarily for this period of time or this season of the year, but it is Simeon, and he's given a gift, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, there's a promise that's set before him. That he's not going to die until he gets to see the promise of the child born, the Son of God incarnate, and he's given that gift, and it's a wonderful, beautiful gift, and he's the consolation of Israel.
Right.
The
light to the Gentiles.
Yeah, and a light to the Gentiles. It's wonderful, and Simeon is just one of my favorite stories for the Christmas season, overall, it's just one of my favorite stories. And so I think, you know, you think about that gift, and you think about giving yourself over for the sake of others, and that the Christianity is what should flow with love because of the gift given, you know, to close things out with on a more serious note. Right. I mean, it's a fun season of the year, laughter and jolliness, because we as Christians are able to do that more than anyone, I think, because we have the hope that is in us is in Christ.
Yeah.
And he gave himself up on that cross for our sake. So,
that's good.
Well, let's bring this episode to a close, this special episode, this Christmas episode. And thanks for bearing with us on this another episode of Theology Simply Profound. So, Rob, what do we have on the docket for our next episode of Theology Simply Profound?
I thought we'd do holiday wine pairings.
Holiday wine pairings, really? No. Seriously.
Oh, okay, seriously. No, next time we are going to actually have another special episode, but this time it is going to be, we're going to do one, maybe two, depending on how long we go, episodes on dispensationalism. What I kind of want to do is do kind of a follow-up episode, and I've gotten a lot of questions from different people, and it's great. Please keep sending your questions in, but I also know that if I'm getting this many questions, other people might be wanting to ask the same questions, aren't writing it. So I just thought I'd take some of the more common ones and talk about, just kind of go over them again. Let's look at scripture. Let's see the main points and do a follow-up episode on that.
All right, great. Once again, thank you for listening to Theology Simply Profound. Until next time.
I watch you when you're sleeping. Oh, yeah. I know when you're awake. I know. I'm making a list and checking it twice. I'm going to find out who's naughty or nice.
Okay, I think maybe that's a little too intimidating.
Yeah, but if you don't mind the sound, I think it's right. You know, do you understand what Santa's saying here? He's making a list. Naughty, nice. He's detailed. He's single-minded. He's an eye in the sky bringing swift judgment.
Okay, but he's also bringing toys to children.
Not the naughty ones. Let me tell you something about that reindeer that ran over Grandma.